No matter how tactics and technology change in wartime, certain things stay the same. Lives are on the line, the days are hard, and home seems very far away. News from home, any news at all, can mean a lot. And since World War I, the newspaper Stars and Stripes has been another staple, following men and women wherever they fight. But the paper doesn't just inform the military, it sometimes criticizes and questions it. The tension over what it is and how it should function during war has existed as long as the paper has, and so have its fans.
Early on, it was a godsend. I loved having that paper.
Lieutenant Leo Barron of the 101st Airborne just returned from a year in Iraq, where 15,000 copies of Stars and Stripes are distributed every day.
You would literally read the thing over and over and over again, you know? I mean, you had like a desperate thirst of just trying to see what was going on in the rest of the world. It was kind of a departure from our everyday reality, and that's why it was so important.
Stars and Stripes' main offices are in Washington, D.C. At one time, this newsroom would have been full of people in uniform. But now, after spending most of its life under military management, Stars and Stripes' top editors and most of its reporters are civilians. Some of those changes took place in the mid-1990s, following findings of military censorship at the paper. Still, one-third of Stars and Stripes' budget comes from the Pentagon, about $12 million a year. During a recent visit to the paper's office, I asked managing editor Doug Clawson about this.
How independent can you be editorially? I mean, paychecks come from the Pentagon, your email is .mil.
I'd say extraordinarily independent, actually. And sure, if you're in Iraq or somewhere else and you see this paper, Stars and Stripes, begin with, the name may be problematic in its own way. They say, well, you've got to be a mouthpiece for the government. Well, that certainly isn't the case. We're not the military's newspaper. We're a newspaper that reports on the military for the military. And let's face it, there's a lot of people in the Pentagon that don't understand that, but that's what we do.
Some Stars and Stripes readers, and even some of its reporters, have claimed the paper is too cozy with the military, while many in the top brass say it's too hostile. Since the war in Iraq began, Stars and Stripes has run the usual reports about missions accomplished and medals awarded, but also stories on equipment that breaks down, policies that fail, soldiers fed up or frustrated. Readers find the same mix of positive and negative in the letters to the editor. Managing editor Doug Clawson reads from a particularly pointed letter that ran after President Bush visited Iraq on Thanksgiving.
This letter's from specialist Damian Torres in Iraq, and we put the headline, Empty Seats at the Table. So the boss came to visit us on Thanksgiving, under wraps and under the American flag. Thanks for coming. Be our guest at the head of our table. Or would you like to sit on one of the many empty seats left by the war? There's plenty of room. In a hurry? Going so soon? Have time for questions? You sure do have time for compliments. Do you ever feel responsible?
Clawson and David Mazzarella, the paper's editorial director, say Stars and Stripes used to run some letters to the editor anonymously, but now all writers have to sign their names.
They're braver than I am. I applaud them for speaking up the way they do.
What is your policy? Are there letters you wouldn't run?
Sure. If a letter were to divulge information that might endanger troops, classified information that we knew was classified information. But no, we don't censor letters. I mean, if it meets all the other criteria, then we will print it.
I can't remember which commander now told me a few years ago that the first thing that he did when he picked up the paper was read the letters to the editor's page, because he goes, that's how I know what's really going on here.
Morning Edition asked current and former military leaders how they use Stars and Stripes. Here's a typical response from one of them.
It definitely will get a commander's attention if he sees his or her unit portrayed in a negative light.
Retired Army General Gil Meyer read Stars and Stripes as a young soldier in Vietnam. Later, as a commander in Europe and chief public affairs officer for the Army, he sometimes, as he says, hollered at someone about something he read in the paper. Now, Meyer works in the private sector, where, he says, a paper like Stars and Stripes would never exist.
For example, just take IBM. There's no way IBM or any other major corporation is going to subsidize a publication that potentially could write negative stories about them. It doesn't pass your common sense test.
Even so, says Meyer,
I think if you change that balance and you had censorship because you provided funding, you would not have a believable newspaper in the eyes of the soldier.
Still, Meyer says Stars and Stripes has an obligation to be sensitive to its readers, especially during war. He cites a recent story about a Black Hawk maintenance crew in Iraq that was worried about the condition of its helicopters.
My concern, my emotion is, the spouse of the helicopter pilot is back in Germany with three kids, worrying about her husband, and you read this story, you get a heightened sense of concern, but I also say to you, as long as the Army side of the story is adequately covered, I'm okay with it. But many times, it's either not covered or the Army didn't have the time or take the time to educate the reporter and forces coverage.
A survey by a private research firm says that a large number of Stars and Stripes readers rely on the paper, and the majority find it balanced. Managers at the paper are proud of these statistics, but they're worried about other numbers. The paper's circulation is way down from the first Gulf War, and the cost of distribution is up, which forces them again to confront their awkward relationship with the Pentagon. Managing editor Doug Clausen says Stars and Stripes wants to get more papers into Iraq, but to do that, it needs more cash from the government.
Almost all of our expenditure as far as the subsidy goes to distributing the paper. It's magnificently costly. So the circulation issue is huge. I don't think there's a person in the newsroom that wouldn't want us to be independent and to get the government offer back. However, I would argue to you that the $12 million they spend on Stars and Stripes is among the best money that the taxpayers spend anywhere.
Stars and Stripes wants to triple circulation in Iraq to 50,000 copies and hopes to find out in a few weeks whether the Pentagon will foot the bill. For the moment, those who do get the paper in Iraq will do what its readers have always done in wartime. Share it, save it, and when there are no other options, read it again and again. A History of Stars and Stripes is at npr.org. This is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Bob Edwards.